This is Lauren Hunt with another episode of the Guitar Podcast. Thanks for tuning in again. This is episode number 20, as I'm recording on my MacBook Pro. Not using Soundtrack Pro, but Audacity, a free download from the internet from way back. I think I've had it for like 6 years. But I will edit it on Soundtrack Pro, though. It's a very good application. Just using the MacBook built-in microphone. To those of you new to the Guitar Podcast, I want you to know that what I talk about here is about of my opinion and from my experience with guitars and amps and effects and so on. Please chime in with comments and questions and emails to info@theguitarpodcast.net. You can also join me on Facebook. If you go to guitarpodcast.net, click on like on Facebook, and there you'll be able to see like show notes or links that I'll provide there. We have a little discussion, and might be a cool thing. I want this to be a little bit of a listener feedback kind of a episode. There are a few emails that have caught my attention and kind of changed my mind about a little bit about the focus or where I really should be focusing on this. I mean, in the discussion on the podcast. So this one's from Phil. He says, I've been listening for a few weeks and had a couple questions and comments. I've heard a lot about hardware and equipment and such, but what about technique, playing, and songs? I'm a vintage player, I'd say, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on sweep picking, the style of music you usually play, warm-ups you do, the speed of warm-up. Most players don't get to play with a full band or even a drummer unless they're a pro or gigging. What do you suggest to bridge the gap between practice and performing with others? Well, there are a lot of questions there, Phil. And I must say that you really pointed something out, a very valid point, that I talk a lot about gear and stuff and not so much about the playing. And, you know, that's really where, you know, we all want to, what makes guitar so great is actually playing them, right? And, you know, when I first started playing guitar, I didn't care that my guitar was a cheap piece of junk. I loved playing. It was just the playing. I mean, I played all the time and it was just, I didn't have expensive guitars, And I think you kind of opened my eyes a bit there. You know, nowadays, you know, with a full-time job, wife and two daughters, and I don't get to play as much as I'd like. And I think that's a problem with a lot of adults who are in that same situation, balancing work and family and fun time, which is, you know, guitar stuff and other hobbies as well. And balancing all that can be difficult. But yeah, the beauty of guitar is, you know, playing guitar. I mean, sure, they're great looking instruments and everything. But anyway, that's some very valid points there. When you talk about sweep picking, I have tried a little bit, enough to kind of get a few techniques going with sweep picking. Some arpeggios, more like a D-shaped chord, repeating the fifth on the high E. I'm not really good at it. I'll do it for friends from time to time. They're like, wow, that's cool and stuff, but it just doesn't sound the way I think it should sound. It doesn't sound as smooth and fast, and, you know, it just doesn't sound as good as I think. And I haven't spent the time on it. It takes a lot of time. You have to start it out really slow, you know, just working through that. And the more your hand gets used to that, you get the muscle memory, your mind gets used to that motion or telling your body to do that, and it naturally speeds up. When I was young and I said, I want to be a fast picker, I remember that my teacher saying, don't force the speed, and I see in instructional videos as well about don't force going fast, you could really hurt yourself. And I never quite really understood that. And I very well may be paying some of the price of that today, because I did start going faster and faster. Maybe I did it natural way. Maybe this is just a natural part of aging for me, that my, you know, I have, you know, achy joints from time to time. But, you know, the thing is to start slow or, at a moderate pace that's comfortable. And that sounds good. Let your ear always be your guide. Does it sound good? Is it even? Is it, you know, is it right? Then if it feels like you can speed up a little bit, But yeah, I wouldn't force it. I'm trying to do that a little bit with that sweet picking. It's going to take a lot of time because it's something that is not, it's not a natural thing for me. There are things that were very natural for me when I first started playing guitar, which lent itself fairly well to the style of guitar that was being played in the 80s. A lot of hammer-ons and pull-offs and more legato type licks, where it's like three notes in a row that were all pull-offs or hammer-ons, or just really picking one note on a string and then hitting three and just doing that all six strings all the way up. I hit it six pick strokes, but what's 6 times 3 is 18, right? I'm hitting 18 notes because the legato technique. So that just kind of came natural for me. But the speed picking, it took a little more work. I still have to focus on that a little bit. But the sweep picking, like straight across the neck, a full arpeggio from the low E string to the high E string and back, I can't do that right now. So it's like a major weakness you've pointed out to me, and I'm revealing to all the listeners. And you ask about kind of music I play. I've played rock, speed metal, some blues, and I can't say I'm a blues man because I'll tell you about that a little bit later about why I know that I'm not a blues man. And I didn't consider myself a blues man before, but after I explain this other thing later on in the episode, you'll fully understand. It's more or less the respect I have for real blues players, like real jazz players. I mean, those are giants. But I've played country. I wouldn't say I'm a great country picker. I played country lead, and it was okay. I'm no Brent Mason, I can tell you that much. I'm no Jerry Reed. But, I held my own. It was okay. I had a good time with it. When I started up my own country band, I had a lead guitar player that really had the tone. I mean, and he got it. And so I was like, I'll just play guitar and sing and let the lead guitar player play, because the tone was right, everything was good, and I mean, he knew what he was doing. So he was definitely a better country picker than me. And I don't know, maybe if I would have put more time and effort into it, maybe I would have been able to pull off more of that role of a Keith Urban at that time, but that was a long time ago. Anyway, of course, I've played some acoustic stuff. I like a little bit of classical. I'm not a classical guitar player, but I like that feel of just kind of going through some chords and having a nice elegant piece. I like to play a little bit of mandolin. My wife got into playing mandolin, had mandolin lessons. That really sparked something in me. It was pretty fun playing. And so now we both have mandolins. What I do now is, I play guitar for my kids and for my wife from time to time. I always wish I had a really cool rock or blues voice, but I think my wife is always telling me my voice is much better for country. When I sing a George Strait song, it's like, and I hear it too. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty much right where I should be singing. I can't sing any AC/DC for crying out loud. There's no way. But I'd sure like to be able to sing some cool blues like Stevie Ray Vaughan or whatever, and have a really cool tone to my voice. But hey, it's the voice God gave me, so I have to do what I do. I play at my church, which is a congregation of roughly 5,000. I could be wrong, maybe more. I don't know. But generally, they have, I think, 5 services in a weekend. So on Sunday morning, play 2 services. They have a chapel and then a worship center. The chapel is more along the lines of your hymns and such. And then they have a classic service in the chapel. And then in the worship center, they have kind of what they call a modern service, where you have the crazy rock and roll band, and that's where I fit in. And they have a Saturday night service that's acoustic. So, but I play the two crazy rock and roll services in the morning. I used to play almost every Sunday, but with the family and everything, I've been able to pull that back to just once a month. It's a lot of fun, and I don't feel as pressured as I used to for a bit there. But I mean, you know, before family, every Sunday, not a big deal. Now it's just different. I know other people can pull it off. It's just me. So it's more along the lines of the Chris Tomlin and Dave Crowder and Lincoln Brewster. Well, talk about a guitar player you should check out on YouTube. Type in Lincoln Brewster. It should auto populate the text field whenever you type in the BRE, and just watch this guy play. Oh man, or just listen. It's pretty amazing. He actually has some instructional videos where he breaks down his songs and teaches you note for note his solos, so that you can learn it yourself and really kind of get the feel. He has kind of an odd feel to the way he plays. It's something very unique, which makes him a very special guitar player. Now, as for warming up, you know, a lot of times around the house, if I'm playing for the girls, I'm not doing a whole lot of wild picking or anything. It's a lot of open chords and making silly faces and having fun songs and singing fun things. Say for band practice, when I'm getting ready to go on stage or we're going to play in front of people, you know, a little chromatic type of a scale where you start on the first fret, low E string, and just play 1, 2, 3, 4 on the E, and then moved up to the A, and hit 1, 2, 3, 4, and do that nice and slow in a downstroke that's at a very moderate pace, at like kind of like that. Ideally, you use a metronome for that, but you can't always use that whenever you're warming up in a band setting. But, you know, at home, and like Phil points out, a lot of us don't play with a band very often. So, warming up with a metronome is a very good thing. And practicing with a metronome is an excellent thing, which I should have done a lot more of growing up, which I should do now. But, yeah, that just 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way up to the high E string, and then 4, 3, 2, 1, 4, 3, 2, 1, all the way back down, all downstrokes, is a pretty good warm up. What's really bad is it is a bad practice for me, but it's worked. Is I just go ahead and go right to the alternate picking, down up, and I go a little quicker, and it gets my hands pretty much there. I don't want to push them. It just at a pace that's very comfortable for me. I just go down up. And, you know, do the 1, 2, 3, 4 all the way up and down the frets. And when I go up and down one, and I start at the first fret from the low E to the high E and then back, I'll move my fingers up another fret. So I start on the second fret. So it's 2, 3, 4, 5 all the way up. And then 5, 4, 3, 2 all the way back down. Then move my hand up again. And I just repeat that process until I get up to the 13th fret. Because at the 13th fret, I mean, your fingers are pretty tight. And it's about as tight as I can get my fingers and have them work in that kind of confined space. But another reason why I choose that is it's 12. And 12 is a magic number in music. And so I just, if I really want to get a good warm-up, that's what I would do. But in an ideal situation, if you're sitting down and you're setting aside a good hour for practice, if I were, I'd sit down and I'd just do the downstroke, 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way up, and then with the metronome, and then just stop, say, at the fifth fret and start speeding it up with just the downstroke until my right hand can't take that anymore, and then slow down the metronome maybe and start doing alternate picking, and slowly speed the metronome up again with the alternate picking. And that's a really pretty good warm-up. And then from there, you know, focus on the scales or a lick that I'm wanting to learn or whatever, you know, and have the focus from there. But I think that little, I call it a little chromatic exercise, is something that I utilize all the time, and it's one of the first things I show or teach students, always have, is that little exercise. And it was shown to me when I was a kid and said, hey, you want to get your fingers nimble, learn that, do that, practice it. It doesn't sound great, but it just wakes my hands up. Another question, another part of the question is, most players don't get to play with a full band or even a drummer unless they're a pro gigging. What do I suggest to bridge the gap? You know, that was a big issue for me when I was a kid. In high school, I couldn't always go over to a friend's house that played guitar and play, or very rarely get with a drummer, which was an amazing thing to be able to get with a drummer and play, because it's just a whole new thing. Like, oh, wow, there's this stuff happening that's just, it's magic whenever a guitar player plays with a drummer. So something that I typically did was, you know, I would learn the songs on my tapes, and I would play along with Metallica every night, or I would play along with Slayer every night, or Whitesnake, or whoever. You know, I'd learn their songs, and just, I'd start the tape playing, and I would just play. I'd try to play along best I could, and I'd try to learn their solos, and some of them I knew their solos, and I would play it what I thought was note for note, and now that I look back, either I've forgotten, or I didn't have it quite right back then. I would stray off and start doing my own thing, and it was like Metallica or Slayer was backing me while I was doing a solo, and it was really kind of a cool thing. Although, you know, Kerry King or Jeff Hanneman was over there doing the lead, but I could still hear the drums and that driving rhythm behind it, so I could still do my lead or whatever and play along with the band. I mean, you're really playing with them in a way. Nice thing about modern technology is that if you're listening to this podcast, more than likely you have a computer. And I just told you at the beginning of this about Audacity as a program. It's a free download that you can record yourself playing guitar, and then you play with yourself, where you're playing like a rhythm, and then you want to play a lead over top of it. You just play that rhythm back, and you play along with it. Now, then again, those of us have Macintosh computers, there is a GarageBand, and you can make up tracks with a drum track. And I'm sure that there are places, and I should probably do some research about getting a hold of just basic drum tracks or bass tracks that have a drummer and a bass player playing, and that's all it is. Say it's E blues or A blues or whatever, you're just playing along, and you just listen to it and you can play, and it just goes on and on for however long, and then can start over. That's a way that you can bridge the gap. But I strongly recommend. Before I go into that, I want to say that it seems like today, all that I'm reading is that the recording process, a lot of people aren't doing the recordings where the whole band's in the same room. When I did recordings, always wanted the band to be live, us all standing in the same room where we could see each other, we were playing off of each other. There's a certain dynamic that's there. What I understand now is that a guy will put down some scratch tracks of his own with some vocals, and then send it to somebody, and then they'll put their part on and send the files to somebody else, and it's like they don't even see each other. They're not even in the same room, maybe not even in the same state. And I think there's a dynamic that's missing from that. I'm sure the music is fine. It's just, I think music is about sharing and interacting with each other and playing off of each other. That, I mean, sure, you can play off each other what you're hearing there, but whenever you're looking at somebody and you're playing and you're both feeling that vibe, you're all feeling that vibe, all at the same time, that elevates that dynamic. It elevates the emotions. And a key part of music is emotions. I mean, what do we usually write about? It's not always happy-go-lucky, la-di-di-da, you know. It's, it's not rainbows and unicorns, you know. It's blues, you know. It's usually this really stinks, or my girl left me, or my guy left me, or, you know, one of the most popular songs by Eric Clapton is Tears in Heaven. And that's one of the saddest songs out there. And it's just, you know, it's emotion. Music is emotion. Whether it's joy or sadness or angst, you know, if it's shared amongst people, then it's elevated and it's dynamic. So I strongly recommend trying to get together with other musicians and having fun that way. But you can certainly supplement that or bridge the gap, so to speak, in utilizing modern technology that's out there on the web or that you can have on your computer. It certainly seems as though I've spent this whole podcast just answering Phil's question, which is fine. I do want to give a little bit some props to Pappy from the Six String Bliss podcast, and he hosts a blog, fifthfret.org. They have a really cool podcast, comes out, I think, about weekly. It's the three of them sit around and talk, and they cover a lot of subjects. They have some really cool interviews with some names you will recognize, some big name artists. I mean, they've got something really cool going on there. But I was really glad to get this email from Pappy and the encouragement that he gave me. So, yeah, thanks a lot, Pappy. Keep it up. Now, earlier in the podcast, I said something about blues and how I'm not a blues man. And I'm not saying that I don't like the blues, but I'm just saying that I can't categorize myself as a blues man because there have been these things floating around in my head about music theory and a really strong understanding of it. And I was kind of getting to the tip of the iceberg going, if you take this and you take this, if you take the major scale and then you take the minor scale and then you take the blues scale, you get all chromatic and then you can truly play chromatic and then you're like a master of the blues. And then I think that's kind of how, like, when I talk about jazz players playing chromatically, that they're like masters in my eyes. That's just me. I'm giving them, you know, putting them up on a pedestal for that kind of playing. I want to go into a little story about last night. I went into one of my favorite guitar stores, and I was just hanging out talking with one of the teachers in between lessons, and we started talking about just chords and a little bit of theory. And well, I mean, he was leading the conversation. I was just kind of chilling out after work, and he got me thinking harder than I really thought I was wanting to think that evening. Last evening, he started talking about what modes to use in the blues, and how it really isn't addressed in any theory books. But what he showed me really bridged that gap. It just really put things together. When I was talking about the tip of the iceberg, but he basically showed me the rest of the iceberg. Not that I fully understand it and I can utilize it yet, but he showed me what I was kind of thinking in even more so, how playing the blues can be very, very chromatic. And I was on the right track. It's just to really see it. And I think, well, you know, I guess maybe if I would have thought about it a lot, maybe I would have come up with it myself, but I doubt it. This guy's been playing guitar for I don't know how many years, probably longer than I've been alive. And I mean, he just really lives it and breathes it. He is a tried and true musician, 100% theory monster. He definitely opened up my eyes that I was on the right track with thinking about chromatic blues. Of course, he called it, I think, diatonic harmony. And I don't remember if that's exactly what he said or not. But, and I'm not gonna go into everything that he showed me. But it's pretty cool. And after seeing that, I'm more so convinced that yes, I cannot say that I am a blues man because I don't understand this. And maybe once I understand that, I might say, yeah, I'm getting there. You know what I mean? Because They're a monster blues. There are people who've dedicated their whole lives to playing the blues and would take a glance at this sheet of paper and say, well, yeah, that's what I've been doing all my life. What's so revolutionary about that? This is just how it is. And to me, it's like, Yes, that makes sense. That's how, yeah. Okay, I totally understand. And it goes back to that whole thing about you got to know the rules before you can break them. Anyway, it was really nice to get that lesson last night. I didn't expect to have a guitar lesson, but you know, it was great. And I haven't had a guitar lesson in I don't know how many years, other than like a self-led guitar lesson where I'd go online and oh, I want to watch this guy play guitar. I'm going to learn how to play this song or this part or this way, or whatever. Or look at a magazine and it shows you. But to have another guitar player that has something on me in a way that, you know, to say, look at it this way. Check this out. I haven't done that in, I don't know, 15 years maybe. Other than maybe sitting down with a friend and saying, oh, that was cool, show me that. But to really have something that's like just amazing, just I haven't had that. It was a really pretty cool experience, and I'm really thankful that I got that. But yeah, tons of respect to true bluesmen and jazz players. People can play chromatically. It's amazing to me. Anyway, and I want to thank the folks who have. Oh man, I'm just gonna address this. Brian writes in, and he was talking about in response to my finding a teacher and utilizing different teachers podcast, and then how it's difficult to get time with a full work schedule and then family life to practice and everything. And I mean that's one of those things that's tough for everybody to find that time. I mean, some people have better time management skills than others, and I certainly struggle with time management skills. I mean, you can look at the history of this podcast. You can see the gaps where I want to have a weekly podcast, and I, you know, would go, you know, I'd skip a week or I'd skip two or three, and I feel terrible about it. And I really don't want to deal with that guilt that I didn't produce a podcast this week. You know, I really want to produce one every week, and it'd be great to play guitar every night. But it's a difficult thing. One thing he mentions in his email is that he was suggesting going with one teacher 1 week, and then the other and another teacher the next week, and then kind of alternating. You know, in theory, that's kind of a good idea. However, you may find it very, very difficult to find two teachers, let alone. I mean, you may find that very, very difficult to find one teacher who will do an every other week lesson, let alone two. And I mean, you may be able to do it, but it's I think it would be kind of difficult because they want that regular schedule. I know that teachers would run when I was teaching. You'd run, I was running into that thing where you have a no call, no show. They didn't show up or whatever. And you're like, I'm here, but I'm not teaching and I'm not making money, so. You know, I'll practice and everything, but and you do it for the love of music and guitar and to give it back, but you know, gotta put food on the table, right? So anyway, I mean that's just kind of a guitar teacher's perspective. Just being completely honest there. What I would suggest is you know, say you do a couple months with one teacher, then and stop and do a couple months with another teacher, or you know, if you have the luxury of the time, have two teachers, have a lesson on a Monday night and then have a lesson on a Thursday night. You know, alternate. You know, that's I mean, you could do it if you have the time. I think the better way to go is to take lessons from one teacher for a couple months or so and then go to another one and rotate back. There are a lot of good guitar players out there, a lot of good guitar teachers out there, a lot of people who have a lot to offer. You know, it's just one of those things. You never stop learning. I hope that helped a little bit, Brian, because I think you're struggling with the same thing that me and a lot of other people are with, who have you know, a job that's demanding and you know, the lack of time to be able to do, you know, to practice or to play and to go and take lessons. And then of course you become attached to teachers too. You know, they become your friends. You spend a half hour every time and you have this special connection with the guitar, which not everybody has, because not everybody plays and not everybody is really good at it, and you expect a teacher to be really good at it. And if you really love guitar, then you have that special, it's just a special relationship with other guitar players that, you know, you don't feel like you're in competition with, which that's another episode, you know, two roosters in a hen house. Anyway, gonna wrap up. Thanks for tuning in and listening. Please chime in with comments and questions to the Guitar Pod, to info@theguitarpodcast.net, and I'll either reply back in an email or on another show. Please join me on Facebook, and when you see it posted on Facebook, please go ahead and share the link with your friends on your page so that others, your other guitar friends can see it and check it out and say, hey, you know, I want to listen to this joker talk about guitars and guitar playing. And so I'm kind of modifying. Remember what I said at the beginning, like the early episode, whenever I was saying what it was going to be about, I didn't really want to talk too much about like teaching because there are plenty of teaching programs out there. I think it's something I probably do need to cover more about playing, because that's something I think I can offer, I can help out with. In the future, pretty soon, I need to show a video of some sort of me playing, so that you know I'm not just running my mouth, that I can actually play that thing. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed the episode, and like I said, join me on Facebook and you know, share the link with others on Facebook and chime in with emails, comments, and questions. You know, before I said I pretty much wouldn't share the name of the person, just first name only. If you don't want your name shared on the podcast, let me know. You know, if it's not a big deal, I feel like I could just go ahead and say, you know, well, Brian said da 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 da. I'm not using last names or where you're from or anything. And it just kind of makes it a little more personal that, hey, there's this real person named Brian who emailed me on this topic. So with that, I'm signing off. This is Lauren Hunt, signing off for the Guitar Podcast.